WA news overnight. Victorian horses now barred from entering WA as well. And we'll try and catch up with Tiana Robinson, who has the Flying Fabergino, who's trying to get to Victoria for the Moya as well a little later in the program. But right now, it is great to have a chat to the chairman of Racing Australia, Greg Nicholls, who is a very busy man in this current period, as he always is. Greg, appreciate your time this morning.
Morning, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. First of all, your reaction to that news overnight from Western Australia to bar Victorian horses from entering the state following on the back of New South Wales' decision?
That was a thunderbolt. So struck about 10 seconds ago when I first heard it. I'd like to understand the rationale behind it, but obviously they're very considered people in WA, so I would have thought they'd act rashly. So there must be some substantiation to it, but I haven't been briefed on that as yet.
It does seem, from the layperson's point of view, it is an overreaction from New South Wales, Racing New South Wales and Arawa to put this ban on. As the chair of Racing Australia, do you sit down, do you speak with these principal racing authorities after they make a decision, like New South Wales did last week, and try and get some clarity or understanding as to why that decision has been made and how it can possibly be changed in the future so we can all work together?
Yeah, I've certainly had a conversation with Russell Balding, the chairman of Racing New South Wales, and they've outlined their position. And Russell has confirmed that this is not in perpetuity, this decision. It's in response to advice I received at the time. Until I have a conversation with Jeff Ovens, the chairman of RAWA today, I won't be able to I'd only be speculating as to the motivation or the reports that they've received that have caused them to come to that conclusion. I think they're just extraordinary times. Sport has done an amazing job and a very resilient job in maintaining racing, with the exception of Tassie, when we were closed down for 6 weeks. That's been reversed. And they're just extraordinary times, and you've just got to cope with the circumstances in front of you. New South Wales made their decision. Vast industry, they're the largest racing industry in terms of GDP, if you can call it that, in Australia, and they've certainly got a role to preserve the success of their jurisdiction, just as Western Australia has.
Greg, just struggling to hear you for a second there. If you could just speak up a bit, we can't quite hear what you're saying.
Hopefully that's better, so, Michael.
That's a lot better. So yeah. In regards to that, can I take the, definition that Racing Australia then is against the decisions of both Racing New South Wales and Racing or RAWA to ban Victorian horses? That would not be the standpoint of Racing Australia?
Our standpoint would be that we want open borders, but when extenuating circumstances present themselves, then each principal racing authority has a responsibility to manage and provide oversight of their respective industry. So it's not Racing Australia's role to come in over the top and admonish them and tell them to repeal. That's never been Racing Australia's role. But the philosophy of open borders is one that Racing Australia fundamentally believes in. And I think if you asked Racing New South Wales and RAWA, they share the same opinion, but there's obviously extenuating circumstances that have caused them to bring down this deliberation.
Racing in all jurisdictions has done a remarkable job to continue, especially here in Victoria with this second spike and the hotspots that Flemington is in and other areas, to continue racing. All the participants and the administrators need to be congratulated, but it's hard to get a viewpoint of the future, but where you sit as the boss of Racing Australia, are you speaking, you would be speaking to government? Is there more pressure being put on what the future looks like and how we can traverse our way through this?
Racing Australia, our relationships are very strong at federal level. We have two world-class public affairs people that represent our interests there, and I get involved on a daily basis, basically. So we have a strong relationship with the feds. The states are responsible for their liaison with the state governments and the territory governments, or the PRAs are, I should say. And they seem to all have a very strong bond with the governments. And there's no shortage of dialogue, not only with the federal people, but certainly on a state and territory basis. There's no shortage. They're openly engaged. We've been extremely appreciative of the Prime Minister and the National Cabinet's decision to support racing. And touch wood, we've vindicated their judgment in our ability to continue racing, and let's hope that that continues. It doesn't mean that there's not challenges, as we've found today with Warwick Farm being called off. But what it does tell you is that this is an industry that takes its responsibility very, very highly. It doesn't resolve from making hard decisions when needed. So I think that the rapport with government has been one of our strengths. But the strength is there simply because we've lived up, we've walked the talk, in other words, Michael. We've delivered what we said we would deliver, and we've provided, I think, a social outlet for the Australian public at a very critical time when there was a total void of sport, and racing has fulfilled that that role admirably.
There's been a lot of nervous innuendo in Victoria about the possibility of stage four lockdowns. If that's the case, is racing as an essential service able to continue, or does it get shut down as well?
That conversation is one that Racing Victoria would envisage would be having with the state government. We're confident that the procedures that we've put in place, and you can only be judged on your record, Michael, and Australian Racing's record's been exemplary, not only in Victoria, but right throughout. And you would hope that that would be a compelling reason for government to continue the very appreciated support that they've given racing. But I do know that they, particularly because of my involvement at Racing Victoria, as well as being a non-exec director there, I am fully aware of the wonderful work that our people are doing in terms of keeping government informed and reassured and maintaining those lines of communication. And I'm confident that our record, as I said, speaks for itself. So you would hope that there would not be a precipitous decision if indeed Victoria did decide to go down the path of stage four.
I know yourself, on behalf of Racing Australia and Victoria, have been speaking to the federal government about trying to get an exemption or a rule that can allow international participation in this year's Spring Carnival. How is that progressing?
Positively. We were up in Canberra as recently as 2 or 3 weeks ago, had meetings throughout the day, and not that meetings are a gauge of success, but there was no pushback. There's been a lot of work subsequent to that. IRT have been fabulous in the way that they've involved themselves, and obviously they've got an interest in it because it's their business, but they're a world-class company that inspires confidence. It's not only the Melbourne Spring Carnival. Obviously, the Everest, there's a strong interest in that event, and the Golden Eagle as well, from particularly the Brits and the Irish. So it has a wider ramification than Melbourne. Racing Victoria has released its philosophy or its policy for the spring, and we're very keen to have international participation. The obvious reason that it just makes our carnival even greater than it currently is. So it's been a successful formula for the last 30-odd years, and let's hope it continues. But, yeah, there's discussions going on all the time, certainly on the big issue is really the quarantine perspective, and it may be a scenario where stud groups come out a fortnight before the horses actually arrive. It could lead to that. But I'm confident that the discussions that we've had, and certainly with the strong collaboration of Racing New South Wales, Racing Victoria and VRC and so forth, that we can get a positive outcome for the Melbourne and Sydney Spring Carnivals.
Greg, where are we at with the whips? There's been a lot of debate and discussion in recent weeks and months, and Racing Victoria has come out and not amended the rule, but has given more clarification around penalties. And I know last time we spoke, I think at the start of the year, it was almost before the COVID situation hit that we were expecting an announcement imminently on what an Australia-wide rule change on the whip might look like. So what's the latest?
Well, it sounds as though all we do is have dialogue, Michael, but we've engaged a number of very prominent people within the sport to, we being Racing Australia, to advise on the issue. We've also taken consultation with major international jurisdictions. You're obviously well aware that we've got a situation in California where the California Horse Racing Board determined that the maximum of six strikes. Recently, that was only within the last two or three months. In Britain, it's seven strikes on the flat and eight strikes in jumps. Ireland, it's eight strikes. France, it's reduced to five. Australia and New Zealand have a common position. And it's certainly up for discussion. I think that there's two aspects to it. It's not only the rule of how many strikes, but the course of action that Racing Victoria has recently undertaken in terms of penalty is just as of equivalence in importance. And we had the scenario that in the Stradbroke, where one jurisdiction probably took a more lenient approach to the issue than what may have occurred in other jurisdictions. And that's not a criticism. But the key is to get uniformity, though, and notwithstanding that each principal racing authority has their own stewards panel, uniformity in penalties is something that needs to be looked at. So there's two features to it. Do we have an answer right here and now? No, I don't. But I'm hoping...
Have you got a timeline?
In terms of clarity, I would hope by the middle of August, thereabouts.
And part of that discussion, is there a chance that the whip could cease in the last 100 or the unfettered use of the whip?
I think speculating is probably not going to serve the conversation very well, Michael, and you know, I know that's just an evasive tactic, but the reality is that there's nothing on the table that is looking for it's something that abolishes the whip outright. There's just no appetite for that whatsoever. So in terms of the last 100, that's obviously a consideration because it's only Australia and New Zealand that have that aspect written into their rules of racing. And you've got... You talk about North Pole, South Pole, and the South Pole, you could argue at the moment, is California and France. France with five strikes, California with six. Well, you've got the JRA, a highly successful jurisdiction. Hong Kong Jockey Club, similar, one of the most respected jurisdictions in the world. It's up to stewards' discretion. So there's a diversity of opinions on the subject. You've got to understand that I think the two issues are inextricably linked, and that's penalty and what the rule actually says. And if people transgress the rule, then I think the full impact of the penalty system should be applied. I think that is a non-negotiable in any situation that's clarified in the next month or so.
Last one before I let you go. Race programming, a lot of debate about our Spring Carnival, and then Racing Australia said that they were going to do a full review. Is there a likelihood that we could see a change to the Spring Carnival and its format next year?
Racing Australia is looking at a pattern review, which is obviously the major races in Australia. Do I think 2021 there's going to be a transformation in the way that Australian racing programs, its feature events. There's a likelihood, but do I think it's a strong one? No, I think that essentially you've got the Melbourne Spring Carnival, September through to November. You've got August to increasingly into November now for Sydney. You've got Perth back end of November. You've got Brisbane, obviously, around the Magic Millions and their summer carnival, then leading into their winter carnival. So, and South Australia has got its spot in May. So I think that there's some very important foundations that don't need to be tampered with. But it doesn't mean that races can't move around. I truly think that there needs to be a refresh at times of race programming. But the fundamental issue is the Melbourne Cup is an institution and a lot of the Melbourne Spring Carnival revolves around it, whether we like it or not. And I know some clubs feel overshadowed by it, but that's a reality. And that's highly unlikely to move in the future. So you've got limitations as to what you can actually do. But my view is that we should all respect each other's jurisdiction. It doesn't mean that we can't introduce competition. What it does mean is that it's done in collaboration and not done unilaterally. And my task is to make sure that people do communicate with each other and that the pattern and our feature events are all given sufficient oxygen to make a success of themselves. So getting back to your original question, will we see changes in 2021? Yes. Will we see the magnitude of the change be significant? I don't know. But I do know that unless you do continue to contemporise and modernise the sport, then you just don't stay front of mind with the customer. And ultimately, that's the most important element, the punter and the owner are the two critical elements that keep our industry sustained. So we've got to put on a product that entices both those very important groups to remain strongly interested in our sport.
Greg, I appreciate your time. I'm going to hold you to that. Mid-August, whip decision. You promised today. We've been waiting a while.
Whip clarity, Michael. Whip clarity.
You are a very good politician. There's a lot of politicking going on at the moment. Greg, appreciate your time, especially on the COVID situation, international travel, and opening Victoria's borders up is where we need Racing Victoria and Racing Australia's great help. I need all the participants here in Australia need that to reopen for racing, especially in this state. Appreciate your time, Greg.
Thanks, Michael. Take care.
Greg Nicholls, the chairman of Racing Australia. So.